Well, it's time here in Spain where we listen to Blevins Franks, and today we've got Bill Blevins and Chris McCann as well. The Spanish Tax Authority has published details of its 2021 tax enforcement plan, so let's find out what that is about and if it will affect expatriates here. But first of all, we have to say hi to Bill. How are you doing today, Bill?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Howard. I hope you're keeping well too.
Yeah, and busy, so that's good. Anyway, what news do you have to report on this week, Bill?
A few minor items, but I think of quite great significance, in particular for Spain. Spain has this week finalised the landmark plan to spend 140 billion euros coming out of the European Union Coronavirus Recovery Fund. Pedro Sanchez's government, is responding to criticism that it has rather centralised the control over the money, and that the immediate economic impact might be less than was expected. But he's arguing that for the plan to be formally submitted, it will transform Spain's economy in much the same way, he said, as when Spain made its entry into the European community in 1986. And we all remember, of course, the massive roadworks and other development programmes that took place after that. I mean, it is quite remarkable that Reyes Maroto, Spain's industry and tourism minister, has said that because of the way in which the negotiations have been carried out, they are actually able to borrow 27 billion euros in advance of the release of the other funds, which will be spread over a number of years, compared with other countries who have to wait for the Commission to approve their recovery plans before distributing the funds. Spain has been particularly hard hit by coronavirus, and I think that augured well for their negotiations for an advance on those monies. It's also true that Spain's political landscape looks as if it's going to be transformed by the elections last week of a right-wing leader whose popularity has soared because of her success in keeping Madrid open. Isabel Díaz Ayuso, she's the incumbent head of the Madrid region and is seemingly in the ascendancy with the popular vote. We will have to wait and see what her party, what her promises bring in the real world. I was impressed this week with the... I listened to last week to the Warren Buffett annual general meeting for Berkshire Hathaway. He's a man I've respected all of my working life. He's made the most amazing returns on investments for his funds. It's probably, if not the largest pot of fund money in the world, very close to it. But he warned everybody that within the companies that they own, within their investment portfolio, they're looking at very substantial inflation. He said at the meeting just last week that we're raising prices within those businesses. People are raising prices to us, and it's all being accepted. He said inflation had begun to accelerate more recently due to multiple factors, including increasing demand, struggles, of course, in some areas of the supply chain, as well as just easier comparisons with the pace of inflation just a year ago. So a warning to listeners, I frequently remind listeners that inflation, whilst benign at the moment, has the potential to come back and bite your bottom very quickly, very substantially. And therefore, it's a time perhaps to look at the way in which you are invested to ensure that your wealth keeps pace with the growth of inflation and that your spending power is not therefore adversely affected.
Yeah. Interesting week it's been, Bill. Thank you for that. So on to tax then, Bill. Do you think that many people find Spanish taxation prohibitive? And should they let this stand in the way of becoming a resident of Spain?
I think if you are raw to the study of the tax regime of Spain and you look at the tax regime in stark detail, you could easily feel that this was a high-tax economy and one that you may therefore wish to avoid. But the tax legislation in Spain, if I can phrase it like this without any disrespect, of course, to the legislators, is less mature and less restrictive than the tax regime of other, perhaps more advanced tax economies like the UK. And whilst you and I, Howard, go back a long way, just 20, 25 years ago, it was quite common to have a cheque issued to you al portador, or pay the bearer. Those days are gone. And frankly, Spain has gone from a place in which you could literally tell the taxman what you thought you wanted to tell him, even if it was not true, to a country in which they're now ensconced in what is otherwise a high tax regime, but with plenty of opportunities to reduce your tax liabilities by very sensible, very simple, regulated and authorised tax planning. The fact of the matter is that in today's world, with the automatic information exchange, we've had the EU Savings Tax Directive, we've had all sorts of OECD pressures on information exchange. Information exchange is now automatic between Spain and a whole host, over 100 other countries. But, as I say, within the Spanish tax regime, there are a number of incredible tax planning opportunities far in advance with benefits and reduced taxation than exists in the UK, for example. And so if you are contemplating, or if you're thinking of investing your money right now, then Blevins Franks have been working for over 40 years, developing very sophisticated, very nonetheless very simple, but very effective means of holding your assets in such a way so that whilst you may have some tax liability, it's going to be reduced to very, very low levels. And in some cases, some of the taxes can be reduced to zero. So I don't think you should consider the tax regime in Spain prohibitive. It's rather more about taking skillful expert advice at the right time and following that advice through to ensure that when you have made sensible investments and therefore hopefully sensible returns, that you don't pay unto Caesar, as it were, €1 more than is due unto Caesar.
Well, listeners who've been with us a long time know we've needed to discuss tax developments many times over the years. Do you think tax planning has become very difficult and much harder than, say, 10 years ago?
I think 10 years ago, the scene in Spain had, to be honest, had already changed to a more formal, less liberal manner of declaring your income, your gains and your wealth. I mean, if you go back 20 years, there has been a sea change. 20 years ago, expatriates arriving in Spain would either not declare themselves or declare a level of income they thought would satisfy the hacienda, and frankly would continue along those lines with undeclared income and undeclared gains and indeed hiding their wealth in a variety of offshore centres. That has all changed in the last 15 years or so. And even more so in the last 10 years, because in the last 10 years, as I said a moment ago, over 100 different countries around the world, under pressure from the European Union, the OECD, the world's wealthiest nations, there is now in place an automatic exchange of information treaty. So that if you live in Spain as an expatriate and you have assets located in an offshore centre or the UK or any other of these 100 countries, and you are going to have to declare your tax on an annual basis in Spain, they will be receiving information about your income, about your gains, about your assets from those overseas territories by virtue of this automatic information exchange. This is sweeping up literally thousands of individuals who have not properly declared themselves. And frankly, within Spain, tax evasion has become, at the higher levels, a criminal offence subject to imprisonment. And they are serious about attacking, as you're going to hear from Chris shortly, those that do not declare themselves formally and correctly for tax purposes. I mean, having a tax enforcement plan itself suggests instantly that they're looking to enforce the full remit of the law on taxpayers who are not necessarily intentionally, but even accidentally, and no, an ignorance of the law is no excuse, under declaring their income or their gains. So beware. Chris will address that for you in a few moments.
Well, since your tax liabilities in Spain depend on whether you are a tax resident or not, can you summarise what criteria could make you a Spanish tax resident?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of dinner party talk amongst expatriates in Spain, of which I'm often involved, where misinformation is probably greater than it needs to be. Generally speaking, I think most people understand, with the exception of the Spanish golden visa, if you've applied for legal residence, you are likely to be a tax resident. Resident and tax residence are two separate things, but if you've applied for resident status, you're likely to be a tax resident. In fundamental terms, most of the after-dinner chinwag about tax liabilities revolves around the fact that you're resident for tax purposes if you spend more than 183 days in Spain in a calendar year. And that 183 days is cumulative. It doesn't have to be continuous, but between the 1st of January and the 31st of December, if your total time in Spain amounts to more than 183 days, you are de facto a Spanish tax resident. And it's quite important to also note that apart from the 183 days rule, which is, I think, commonly understood, you can also become a tax resident of Spain if your centre of what is called economic interest is in Spain. That is where the base, if you like, for your economic or professional activities is in Spain, directly or indirectly. So that if you have, for example, a greater level of wealth, assets or income in Spain than any other territories from your economic activities, you are likely to be deemed a tax resident of Spain for their tax purposes. That's one to watch carefully if you are a working expatriate using Spain as your base. It's also true that you can become a tax resident of Spain if your centre of what's called vital interest is in Spain. That is to say, commonly that your spouse or common law partner lives in Spain and you're not legally separated, and if your dependent or minor children live in Spain. And now, in that case, you're deemed to be a Spanish resident unless you prove otherwise, even though you might spend less than 183 days a year in Spain. Now, there is, of course, the Spanish UK double tax treaty, and you will have to guard your information carefully to discuss issues as to where your tax is payable. And if you are a tax resident with the guys at Blevins Franks, who, as I say, have had more than 40 years of skills and experience in dealing with these matters, but it's vital that you make sure you don't trip over one of the subordinate opportunities to create you as a tax resident without realising it, because, as I've said before, ignorance of the law isn't an excuse.
Well, now we'll take a close look at Spain's tax enforcement plan now with senior partner Chris McCann. Chris, what exactly does the tax enforcement plan do?
Good morning, Howard. Every year, the Spanish General Directorate of Taxes publishes the guidelines of the annual tax and customs enforcement plan. It outlines the main strategic policies that they intend following in relation to reviews, audits and inspections for the year. In other words, it details how they intend dealing with tax fraud for the coming year.
What key issues are the tax authorities focusing on this year?
Well, look, focusing on what is likely to be relevant to the listeners, at the top of the list is a review and audit of individual tax residents in Spain, specifically as regards taxpayers who have stated that they are non-resident, but who the tax authorities have indications of a significant presence in Spain. I don't know how they are gauging a significant presence in Spain, but owning a property may be sufficient. I don't know if it's related, but I've been contacted by a number of people over the last few months who have received letters from the Spanish tax authorities asking that they confirm to them their resident status for calendar year 2016. These are typically people who are registered as non-residents and are being asked to prove that they are non-residents, and in most cases being asked to provide evidence that they have been present elsewhere and have completed full tax returns in another country, such as the UK. It's worth noting that they have requested information for 2016 because under normal circumstances, the statute of limitations in Spain means that they can go back only 4 years from when the relevant tax return should have been submitted. It's also worth noting that it is then up to the individual to prove their tax status and not the Spanish tax authorities to prove it. More specifically, in relation to residents, they have also made reference to the review and audit of what they term simulated non-tax residents in Spain. This refers to individuals who claim to be resident in another country under a specific residency scheme, but in actual fact spend over 183 days in Spain. Good examples of this include individuals who are resident under schemes in Gibraltar or Portugal, but spend over 183 days in Spain. It's worth noting that they have stated that individuals who fall under this category will potentially be subject to criminal prosecutions under tax fraud charges. It's also worth noting that in doing so, they will focus on professional facilitators of tax fraud, in other words, advisors that recommend such schemes. One other area of interest worth mentioning are transfers of individual tax residents among different regions in Spain to benefit from favourable regional tax reliefs and exemptions. For example, many listeners will be aware that for many years there have been favourable tax conditions in the province of Madrid. Hence, many individuals have shifted their tax resident status to the province of Madrid. The Spanish tax authorities are aware that despite buying property in the province of Madrid and claiming that it is your main residence, many individuals claiming to be resident in the province of Madrid then spend most of the year in another region. Hence, they're now looking to investigate such individuals. In relation to who will be conducting all of these reviews and audits of identified classes of taxpayers, it will be the Spanish Central Unit of High Net Worth, stroke ultra high net worth taxpayers, which is now fully operational.
What tools do they have to help them do this?
Well, within the last few tax control plans, the tax authorities have stated on numerous occasions that they will use IT tools and big data to profile taxpayers and determine specific individuals targeted for audit and inspection procedures. It's well known that the Spanish tax authorities developed a very sophisticated computer-based system to analyse data that they collect on an annual basis. It's also been stated that they will fully incorporate data received from other countries as a result of multiple international exchange of information mechanisms such as CRS, or Common Reporting Standards, FATCA and DAC6. The Spanish tax authorities have actually stated that they will inform taxpayers of relevant international tax information that they have on their records throughout 2021 as part of their tax fraud prevention practices.
So, Chris, what is your advice to our listeners in view of all this? Should they do anything?
Yeah, if any listeners are concerned or would like to discuss their affairs in confidence, they should contact one of our local partners as soon as possible. Ensuring that their situation and their Spanish tax affairs are properly structured in advance is key to avoiding a Spanish tax investigation. Receiving a letter from the Spanish tax office usually means it's too late.
So how do you help your clients legitimately lower their tax liabilities in Spain?
As our clients have done for many years, if listeners take suitable advice in relation to legitimately minimising their exposures to tax in Spain, there is absolutely no reason why anybody should be in a position that they fear a tax investigation from the Spanish tax authorities. As I've said on many occasions, Spain is a relatively high tax country, but it is one of the best countries as regards legal and legitimate tax planning opportunities. If listeners haven't yet had a discussion with somebody qualified to provide such advice, I'd strongly recommend investing an hour or so of their time to learn more about what can be done to provide legal and legitimate protection from tax in Spain.
And the website of brevinsfranks.com is the first port of call.
It is. Listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to get the contact details of all of our local partners. They will be able to complete an inquiry form online. And if they do, we will be in contact as soon as possible.
Well, many thanks, Chris. Thank you very much. I guess we will be talking again in a fortnight's time.
We will, Howard. Thanks very much. Speak then.